Good evening and welcome to Phantom XS. Today is Tuesday, June 23rd. I'm your host, Karen. Joining you tonight, my co-host, Jamie, will be calling in, I think, in a minute now. AJ, unfortunately, is not going to be with us tonight. He's got something else on his calendar. So there'll just be the two of us tonight. We have a pretty short show because the only thing that Jamie and I both cover is Snowpiercer. We're going to talk about this week's episode of Snowpiercer. Jamie, I think, might give us a little update on what went on with the premiere of Nosferatu. I don't think that we will talk about The 100. It was a pretty decent episode this week, but we'll wait for AJ to come back next week. So we can talk about that together. Other than that, there continues to be not really that much going on television-wise, as most stuff is not in production, at least not on network television going on. So as soon as I can get Jamie on here, we will have a chat. I mean, I guess while I'm waiting for her, I could, I don't know, give a little rundown of some other stuff that's going on. As I said, I did watch The 100 this week. For those of you who watch it, we finally got a nice catch up on what's been going on Bardo. It was great to see Octavia back this week, learn what's been going on. I kind of enjoyed the way they, I like that they sort of wrapped that up pretty quickly, that we didn't have to take several episodes to catch up with everything that Octavia has gone through. I mean, apparently she's just been strapped in a chair the entire time as they like examine her memories or whatever. So it was nice how they moved through that quickly and sort of stitched together everything from last season's finale and brought us all up to speed. We still don't know where Bellamy is. At the end of the episode, it implied that he could have been killed in that explosion. I mean, we don't really think that happened, right? Surely he was blown through the portal or something like that. It'll be great to have him back, but we're going to have to wait a couple more episodes. In the meantime, I was just happy to see Octavia and have a pretty mostly Octavia-centric episode. I really, you know, AJ and I both don't really like where they're going with the Russell Shade Hayda storyline. AJ and I can get into that a little bit more when he's back next week. So we'll do that next time. Just Snowpiercer this week. This week's episode was called Trouble Comes Sideways. Mostly centered around a broken piece of the hydraulic system, and Snowpiercer was about to derail. And basically the entire human race will die out if that train crashes, right? So the stakes were pretty high this week on the episode. And we saw Melanie sort of like jump right into it. I mean, I want to talk to Jimmy about this. It's kind of crazy that she knows every apparently single thing on the train. And then we had Leighton out of the drawers and saw where all of that went. So I'm interested to see what Jamie thought about it. I didn't really love this week's episode, but it was pretty good. We had some good, you know, the class war to me is the most interesting part, I think, of this show. So I might as well give Jamie a little text. Oh, here she is. She's here right now. Let me just click the button.
Yep, and, hi.
Hi, Jamie. How are you?
I'm not ready to sneeze, but hi.
Welcome.
So, how are you doing? Welcome.
Oh, I'm doing okay. I'm doing okay. Audience, I broke my ankle over the weekend and have spent most of my time since Saturday on the couch, where I might spend a lot of the next 6 to 8 weeks as I try to heal.
Well, if nothing else, at least it's the perfect time to do it because you're not having to be up and about everywhere, you know.
Right. At least I won't miss anything. There's no concerts. There's no movies. There's no, like, nothing going on. So it's not like I'm going to miss out on a really fun summer.
Well, so. Yeah, that kind of sucks. But, I mean, it's probably better than missing a lot of work and, not being able to make it.
I won't be able to drive for like 6 weeks probably, but I'm working at home already, so I don't have to miss any time, you know.
Yeah.
It's not like I can't get to the office. So I actually don't have any pain right now. So.
And you're not on pain pills.
Just
that's really good.
No, they gave me some pain pills. I didn't even take any of them. I just took ibuprofen. It's a giant,
must
it's swollen
really be the way
and ugly.
It broke. That's why sometimes a sprain, I think, is worse.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an uncomplicated break, and I won't need any surgery. So
that's good. Well, glad it's not bothering you.
Thank
all
you.
Right.
Thank you.
Sure.
All right.
So we have no piercers, pretty much, other than quick talk, is pretty much, I think, all we have to talk together about, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I kept feeling like there was something we were missing, but... stuff I watched, you don't watch, and I was thinking of Roswell, but that's over. We already talked about the end, so I think we're good. All right.
Yeah.
Well, so I feel like this week in Snowpiercer, a lot more finally happened, because now that Layton, I can't think of his name, is free, you know, he's going to start causing problems. And then obviously the whole thing with the train going into rail, which was a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, the dumb thing I keep thinking, though, is that I feel bad for the one girl that switched places with
is her name Jessie?
Blanking. I don't know, the one from the tales section. I feel is her name Jessie? I just mean I feel bad with the one that she, Josie is her name, but I feel bad
for
the one
Josie,
she swapped for, because she's left her in the tail and she could get caught out at any time and she'll never get back, because I almost feel like, I don't know, I got the opinion at the end when they were together that, like, maybe she's thinking of staying, but they really can't stay there that long. So I guess my main question about it is, do you believe what Melanie said about the drawers actually being to try to freeze some people in case they lose everything? Do you believe that?
Well, I don't really think... I mean, I don't know if I believe it, because the people who are on the list just tend to be all the, you know, the doctor was saying, well, it's all the subversives and the rebels that are on the list. Like, both Josie and Layton are on the list, and the doctor just got put on the list, like, the other day, found herself with the red X, right? So if that's the list, why is Melanie who's choosing them? Who chooses the list? Like, if it's Melanie, I might believe that Melanie would make good decisions about who has skills they're going to need in the future. If it's anyone else,
right,
there's no way anyone from the tail would ever make the list, right?
Right, right. That's why I kind of felt like if it is Melanie, it could be true. I don't know yet whether I feel it's true. But, I mean, putting a doctor on the list, if it is true, makes total sense. Although why she would have only been on at that point, I don't know. But I think if they're on their own, and maybe she realizes this too, I think if they are on their own, that the people that are like in the tail section have a much better chance of surviving than all the ones that do nothing for themselves, you know? So,
I mean, it definitely is also a prison, you know, because like they the whole season starts, you know, Nikki has been convicted of a crime and is in the drawers because she's a criminal, not because she, like... It's a prison, but
well,
I guess the prison is the cover story for the lifeboat, according to, right? If it's really a lifeboat, it being jail is the cover story.
Right. Well, I figure if it is the lifeboat, some of them may have actually been in there because they were, you know, arrested and they needed a place, but maybe the majority of them aren't or whatever, because she said they have like 11 cars of them. I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't think they necessarily need that many people just to experiment on. I don't know. So it makes me think it's definitely something. But, but I don't know. I'm curious
to
see that.
I think she said it's enough for 400 people.
Something like that. Well, she said 11 cars, something like that.
Yeah, there's 12 cars. They said there's 11 more cars than the one you know about. So there's 12 cars altogether. I don't know. It's kind of suspicious. Like, it seems kind of, I don't know, is it kind of early to reveal Melanie to be, like, good? Like, I know that good and bad is a little too black and white to describe what's going on here, but it's only episode 5, and it seems
six,
like a big reveal. This is episode six, but for some, it's already renewed for season two. So, you know, it's already renewed for season two. So there's a lot more story coming. And I don't know. I don't know if I believe her. Like, Melanie is, like, five steps ahead of everyone. And, I mean, she definitely would tell Leighton what he needs to hear right now, right?
Well, yeah. But, I mean, she does do some good things. And, I mean, not that she wouldn't try to save the train, because obviously she wants to live. But she was the one that took the risk and went down there and everything. And I feel like it's kind of almost sad a little bit that, like, nobody knows she did anything. But, again, she's done a lot of bad things and we just don't know. I'm kind of falling on the side of, I think she, I don't want to say she necessarily is good, or but, like, she wants humanity to survive. I mean, I think she's trying to keep the peace and keep the people alive, maybe in the best way she knows how. I don't think that she's compassionate enough, but I feel like her ultimate goal really is to save everybody. I could be completely off base, but that's kind of what I feel like. And I feel like if she would not do what she's doing, I feel like Leighton could be an ally and maybe they could fix things, but I don't see that happening. You know, even if they could kind of fix what's going on, it's probably not going to happen, at least not this season. The other thing I want to mention is Zara is pregnant. Do you think that it's the guy that she was assigned to be allowed to have a baby with, or do you think it's Leighton's because, or Peyton's, what's his name, Leighton? Because I feel like it's probably his baby, because that would make more sense to have a, you know, another plot point.
Well, I mean, I think because of the show, it's probably his baby. I think in reality, it's ridiculous. Like, in Showtime, she had sex with Leighton like 3 days ago, and there's no way that she could be, like, you know, already
think about the timeline.
Know that she's pregnant, right? Like she barely had sex with Leighton like a couple days ago. So,
yeah, I forgot. You're right. So maybe it isn't his, but it makes sense it is, probably.
I mean, unless they have some kind of amazing testing that she can get tested right away and it's super sensitive and everything in a way that I think it's too early to know that it's Leighton's baby.
I was thinking, though, there was a thing on the screen when he was in cryo or whatever for a while. I thought they said, like, so many months had passed. Maybe I'm wrong. I keep going back to
really?
That. I might be thinking of a different show. I could be completely wrong.
Maybe.
But
maybe I'm not down with the timeline.
Like, he was frozen for a while. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know, because, like, did weeks go by before the trial, maybe? Like, because, like,
maybe.
Like, LJ was arrested, she's tried, and then the strike happens almost immediately, you know? But, like, the strike is happening because she was pardoned, or her sentence
right.
was commuted, or whatever happened there.
It seems like a lot to have happened in a couple days, so it's hard to tell. I don't know. I'd have to look it up, to be honest, to know for sure. But
Yeah.
What else was I going to say? I don't know. I like the doctors helping them. I want to see a full-blown takeover, which I think is probably what's going to be attempted pretty soon. Because that just seems where it's going, or there'd be no show. But yeah, and I also like that perhaps maybe
I don't think we're going to see that.
Guy can get along. Not necessarily them taking over. I'm saying I think we're going to see them, like the coup, them attempt to take over. I don't know whether it's going to work. It'll probably end not knowing if it works or it won't go well. But
I mean, I don't, only because in order to have a show, you have to let, I think the threat of a rebellion is what drives the show for one or more. Like, the bulk of the movie is the Taillys, like, fighting their way car by car towards first class, right?
Right. But, I guess that's what I'm saying I could see, is them starting that fight. Because we don't know how many seasons. I mean, for all we know, the next season technically could be them having control, and then, like, kind of what happens, because I don't know. It's just, I feel like the first season could be the movie, and then it moves on past that. I don't know, but I think maybe that would be good if it did. I'm not sure how they spread it out, but I think they had said that they were eventually going to continue story past it, so I don't remember exactly how far that was, though.
So. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess we'll see.
Yeah.
there seems to not really be any way that the tail people can get out of there. And I mean, the idea of a third class strike is far more realistic at this point than the tail actually being able to mount any kind of realistic rebellion.
Right. Because I don't know how much third class is going to want to help them, because they don't want to end up in the tail either, you know.
Well, but I mean, they have the numbers, so she's using that as a threat. Like, I'll pick 10 people at random and send you to the tail, and I'll promote 10 tailies. Why would she even do that, first of all? She could just send more people to the tail. She doesn't have to, like, why she would let 10 people out of the tail to take their place.
I don't know necessarily she would. I think that that's more threatening to them and more of a crime to them, because they'll have to live along with them, too. I don't know. That's kind of what I felt like.
I mean, unless it's because everybody has a job and she'll need workers to do the jobs of those 10 people, that I understand. But she would even let 10 people out of there, like, I don't really understand that part of the threat. And they like, believe it, and they sort of, like, you know, they're like, that's really scary to them. But I think they have the number. Like, third class maybe rolled over a little too easily. Like, they do all the work on the train, and they, you know, nothing happens without them.
Right.
So, I don't really know. I mean, I think they're a bigger threat than the tail.
I think they're pausing because they're scared because of what happened. I mean, they might start back up. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Yeah. I mean, also the people in the tail are, like, undernourished. They have no weapons. They have no, like, they're not an organized, like, army right now either. They can only really take over. It's only by planning and smarts that they get anywhere. We've seen like, when they attempt by force, they you know, like, what, like, 12 people died and they only got one car ahead.
Yeah. Do they get a car ahead, though?
Yeah, in that first episode, they were like, oh, or second episode, they were like, oh, my God, we only got through one door, and, like, 12 people died.
Right, but
and
I didn't realize they
had
actually all gotten through there. I thought they just meant they got far, like, that much further.
Yeah, they got into the
next
car,
I didn't really
think
about it. Right.
Yeah.
Well, now I guess the other thing is about Miles. She's going to, I assume, use him to get to Layton, and it shows her. Did you see the preview?
I don't know if I saw the preview, because sometimes my DVR cuts it off.
Okay, well,
I think I saw it.
Okay,
I mean,
it looks like she's going to be torturing Josie, or, you know, trying to get the information out of her, too.
Oh, yeah. Getting
so
some
I don't know
out of her, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, so on the one hand, it's totally realistic to me that she would be interested. Miles is clearly the smartest person on the entire train, after Melanie, and she is going to need to train. I think one of the things we learned in this, I found it, on the one hand, I found it a little far-fetched that Melanie also, not only is she, like, basically running, she designed and built the train, or she designed the train, and she knows how to run the train, and she's, like, in charge of the train. But now she's also the only person who can, like, crawl under the train and do what seems to be a very simple repair. Like, why no one else could go under the train and grab that little tube, the hydraulic pipe, and hook it up? What, you know, it wasn't, like, something that it was, like, wasn't, like,
but
only
you're right.
I know the, can do the math, or only my fingerprint will open the door, or, like, it was like, what, you just gotta leave, like, anyone could, like, it,
the
it
guy
was
had
a
longer
stupid
arms.
Risk of,
yeah.
She was too short. Yeah, I mean, it's a stupid risk of Melanie's life being the person who it also doesn't, like, you know how many engineers I know who, like my dad designed buildings and railroads. He didn't also crawl on the tracks and build it. So I thought it was an unrealistic risking of Melanie's life.
I would agree with that.
I mean,
but I thought
I
at first it was something only she could do, but then it clearly wasn't. So.
Yeah. I mean, I do think that, you know, she's, I do think that she has an interest in, like, I mean, if they've just been on this train for, like, 20 more years, right? So, like, it is good to cultivate, like young engineers who can learn stuff. But on the other hand, like it can be no coincidence that he's basically like Leighton's surrogate son. Right.
Yeah. I wonder though if people do find out about Mr. Wilfred, which I think at some point they're going to. I don't think they're gonna. Everybody's gonna find out right away. I mean, he may tell some people, but I wonder though that they couldn't keep control in a way by locking out the other cars, because you think about it, if they overthrow, like if the engineers made like a united front, if they throw over the engineers, there's no one to run the train and everybody dies. I don't know if people are smart enough to realize that, but, you know, in the scheme of things, they need them. But, they don't know what's going on, so.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's kind of interesting to me. Like, in some ways, I found this episode to be kind of stupid because, like we know the train's not going to crash. Like, we know it's episode 6. It's halfway through season 1. Like, we know the train is not going to derail and crash. So if that crisis can be used to reveal something about Melanie, then it's interesting. But there's no real suspense of the train crashing, right?
Right. I mean, I didn't think it was gonna crash, but I thought it was possible that like maybe part of it could be damaged like before and all the cold air come in or something and like a car could get destroyed or something. But yeah, you know, the whole train isn't gonna. You also know they're not going to lose the cars at the back, or there's no tail section, too, so.
Right, yeah.
It looked like, I'm not sure. Sorry, go ahead. I'll tell you after.
I mean, it's kind of interesting that Melanie, like, not only does she save the train, but she takes no credit for it, right? And no one knows, like, that Melanie is anything more than a glorified hostess.
Yeah, yep. But I was going to say, it looked like when they showed the snow outside that there was some kind of, like, I don't know, camp or something off on the side. I don't know if it's just, like, the way the rocks looked or something to me, because I was kind of confused. Like, you know, they couldn't be living out there. They'd all be dead. But then I thought it would be kind of interesting if maybe we found out later that there was, like, someplace else and they just didn't know it. But I doubt that's what that was supposed to, to mean or be, but it got me kind of thinking about it. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's no possibility that people could be living out there. I mean, all the cows died within seconds of the window breaking, right?
Right. I guess that's true because it's not just that they have heat and stuff. I think a lot of it is also the fact that it's moving probably that keeps them not frozen to death to some extent because it's like perpetual motion or whatever which runs the engine and makes the heat and everything else. I think like without that they wouldn't have enough heat. Or I misunderstand.
I mean,
that's really
the only viable, to me, that's the only viable suggestion I've heard. Like, I often think, like, why is it the train has to, like, keep moving? Like, you can make this entire train that can, you know, survive like this and run for years. Like, why couldn't you just invent, like, an underground bunker?
Which is kind of what I was saying. I wonder.
That makes sense. Like, perpetual motion drives the heat and the energy they need. Like, that makes a lot, you know, that's the best.
Yeah.
Explanation so far.
Yeah, because otherwise, that's what I'm saying, because I'm thinking otherwise there could be communities and then it like defeats the whole purpose, you know?
Yeah,
and underground's probably just as cold as above the ground, I guess. Who knows?
Yeah.
Maybe that stuff they're putting in them will teach their bodies to learn to live in the cold or something. Maybe it will like mutate them or something eventually. Who knows? If what she's saying is true.
Yeah, right. I mean, that's as good an explanation as any either, because there's no reason really to believe Melanie, because she's like she's such a liar. I mean, I could believe that she believes her lies in the best interest of the human race, but she's not a truthful person. And Leighton believed her, but like it will be days before he gets the drugs out of his system.
Right, and I'm also not sure how much he believed her. He didn't actually say whether he believed her or not. He just let her go. But I think he might have also realized she had to go save the train. It's hard to tell because it was quick.
Yeah. So kind of my more and more the part I like best of the story of this whole show is Till. Like, I think she's one of the best developed characters so far. And even though, like, her storyline is, I mean, it's a supporting storyline that is a little slow moving. Like, she's very interesting to me. And I kind of like, you know, so her partner Osweiler is the worst. And I don't know, do you think that he's going to, you know, do you think he's going to, now that they've had this, like, moment, that he's going to stop trying to extort her? Or that he's still going to, I mean, he's a bad guy.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it depends how much he wants to know the secrets and how much he finds out. You know what I mean? Like, if it ends up benefiting him or not. I could see him helping her out. I think that'd make a good storyline, but, you know, have to wait and see, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely only interested in his own well-being. And you're right, if it benefits him, he'll just do whatever benefits him.
Right.
I think he's a little too dumb to realize there's, like, anything bigger going on than his needs and desires. But they seem to maybe have a moment of understanding when they both thought they were going to die. I don't know. What do you think about... I don't trust Jinju either.
Yeah, I've kind of thought that too every once in a while. Like, I want to, but then, like, the way she acted today, I kind of got, like, a weird feeling from her. Or she's like, she didn't show up. Like, I don't know. I felt like it was strange she was even telling her that. Like, why would you want to tell her that, oh, my... Because I assumed it was supposed to be, like, their honeymoon or something. I don't know that you'd want to tell somebody, oh, yeah, she never showed up. She just dumped me, you know?
Yeah, for me, when I saw Jinju, like, doing yoga in Melanie's cabin, like, she's so close to Melanie. Melanie trusts her so much that she lets her in her cabin. Like, I just felt like, Jinju is so close to power that I feel like Jinju would choose Melanie over Bess. And, like, I just feel like everyone on this train would choose social climbing over, you know.
Pretty much.
Except maybe Bess. Not Leighton. Leighton wanted to go back to the, like, Leighton's very loyal to the tale. But in that sense, you know, he's not really a social climber, but he does want to improve the tale's social standing in this.
Right.
But everyone in first class is horrible. Everyone in second class is trying to get into first class. Right.
I think we agreed, though, she doesn't know the secret, right? We don't think, from what we had talked about before.
Didn't you?
Yeah.
No, I don't think she's that close.
I think we had agreed that we didn't think she did, so.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, like, Melanie needs, like, a friend. I mean, they're hard to figure out. Melanie is so calculating that is she really friends with Jinju because she likes her, or is, like, Jinju basically a source or an unwitting spy for Melanie? Like, Melanie has these spies everywhere, we learned last week, right? So I don't know if they could ever really be friends or not. And if Jinju really knows that, like, does she know Melanie well enough to that she's basically, like, kind of using, like, she's using me and I know it, but that's fine because I'm closer to power.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that could be definitely.
So I don't know. I didn't really love it this week, but
I think it was better last week. But it was okay.
In terms of, like, the overall story moving along, it was slow. Like, we had this, like, this breakdown, which was kind of, like, random. Although I did kind of like the reason Leighton lets Melanie go is because she's like, listen, I got to tell you, the whole train's falling apart, and we're not going to make it, so I got to have a plan B. And if that, like, I kind of liked, I do appreciate that we don't, like, this is a 7-year-old machine and it's not just running perfectly all the time. So I got that, but I hope we're not going to have, like, a crisis of the week. We just have a random crisis that, you know, I mean, it's almost like would have been almost more realistic for Melanie to make up the crisis. Like, the crisis in the end, like, chills out. Everybody's just so happy they didn't die that they decide not to have a rebellion.
Yeah, you're right. It would have made sense to make that.
Right? It almost made more sense for Melanie to make up a crisis to scare everybody to death.
Right.
Instead of this super convenient breakdown that saves Melanie's ass.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know, but yeah, I mean, it's okay. It's such a well-made show that it's enjoyable to watch, you know, to look at. And what's her name? Who plays Jennifer Connelly? I think is really good as sort of the ice queen of the show. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I think it's a good show. Yeah. I mean, it's not the best show, I wouldn't say, but it's pretty good. I enjoy it. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And the only show.
The only show right now to talk about.
Yeah.
Nothing else. The only thing I was going to mention really is that Nosferatu Season 2 did start up, and that Zachary Quinto interview is up if anybody wants to read it. But that started, the first episode was pretty much all about Vic and what's happened. Manx really isn't in that one yet. He might have been for a couple seconds, I can't remember, but not like a, you know, an important part of it, because it's all about her not believing he's dead and kind of what's going on there. So that started, and then the other thing is that I've also I think I said last time, like, watch the new season of The Order, which is out, which is really good, which is, like, about magic.
The Order?
Werewolves, yeah. Yeah, it's I really like it. Oh. It has some flaws, like, plot-wise, but it's good. It's enjoyable. I like it regardless. Like, I could ignore the little, you know, some of the little things. Not that it's totally, like, horribly filled with them. I don't mean that either. I just mean it's not perfect,
yeah.
But I do think it's a fun show. Didn't love the series or the season finale, but that was like last year, so where nobody liked the season finale.
Mm-hmm.
But that's out, and like you had, I think, mentioned the other day to us that Dark comes back on 27th, I believe, of this month on Netflix. And if anybody hasn't watched it, I suggest you do, even if the it being voiced over. Because I think it's German. Even if that's a little turn off, it's still worth it once you get into it because it's really good. It's just slightly complex, well, more than a little slightly, but it's got a lot going on. But I think it's a really good show and worth it, and I'm excited to see that. And then also, I don't think you watched this, but on August 21st, Lucifer is finally coming back for part one of the final season. So there's that as well.
Oh, yeah, I haven't.
That's great that
there's stuff at least to watch, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I found out I really like Lucifer. I'm watching part of it again. I got to admit, at the beginning, I was kind of not sure I wanted to watch it because it kind of felt like it's, you know, a little blasphemous there. But I don't know. I try to look at it like he's a demon or something, and then I don't think about it because it's really not. It's a really good show. And once I, like, watched it, I hadn't really thought about that again. So, but yeah, but I don't know. I really like it. It's funny too, kind of the back and forth between the two main characters. But anyway, so that's coming. Those are kind of the two new things I'm thinking about right now. So, all right. Anything else you watched or been watching or anything?
No, I dialed in like 2 minutes ahead of you, and I just mentioned a little bit about The 100, which AJ and I will talk about next week. You know, we had an episode this week that like really the beginning part of the characters have been on separate worlds for a while, and this week started like tying them together, which was nice. But AJ and I will get into that more when he's back next week. And, you know, other than that, no, I got a bunch of stuff to catch up on, I guess, a bunch of TV to watch.
The only thing I will say is that if people want to watch panels, there's so many virtual conventions going on, you know, all different ones. There's a Doctor Who one coming up, which I think is, I want to say is GalaxyCon. And now I just found out one of them, the ones that play Rose and Clara are going to be on. I'm not sure exactly which one's which, so I don't want to go. But there's Wizard World Fan Expo, GalaxyCon. If you look, there's tons and tons of them, and it just it came to my attention. Somebody said something I hadn't thought of. I'm going to start trying to look up some international ones, too, because you can still go. You know, it doesn't matter. You don't got to travel there, and the panel parts at least are free.
Yeah.
So. And then Dar Behrman's on Friday. So that's pretty cool. And there's the other one. There's a Walking Dead one coming, but also, oh, that Michael Rooker. I was trying to think. I'm like, there's no, I know there was another one. But, yeah, but those are, there's tons of them. So people might want to check some of that out, especially if you're just watching the panels free. You know, you don't got to really do anything to get to see it. So.
No, it's really amazing because, you know, all these cons, if they were really happening, you'd have to buy a general admission ticket to get into all the panels, you know, and then you pay extra for like autographs or whatever and photos. So to have all these panels for free, you and I both did the Lost panel the other day with Jorge Garcia and Emily DeRaven. And then, you know, you would pay for if you want video time with the actors that are available. But to have all these panels is amazing. I've been missing a lot of them because many of them are happening, like, during my work day and I have meetings and stuff.
Yeah, they're sometimes not at great times.
Yeah, but if you can swing a free hour now and then, it's really, I mean, it's actually kind of, I mean.
It's nice because normally you wouldn't get
that. That industry is making. Yeah, that industry is making the best of the pandemic and, like, really improving accessibility to these kind of things. Because they could try to sell you a ticket. They could make you pay, like, you know, $30 to access all the panels or something. But, yeah, it's great. There's panels galore.
Yeah, and the other thing is that you can, as far as I know, most of them, I mean, there might be some you can't. But I'm pretty sure all of them, you can access them after the fact if you don't get to see it, so.
That's nice, too.
And they're doing something for Comic-Con. I'm not sure exactly what's going on, but there's some kind of virtual Comic-Con. So that would be cool, because otherwise I can't go.
It's so hard to get in,
All right. Okay, well, I guess that's it, then. I will talk to you next week, and AJ will be back, and we'll do that. All right.
Yeah.
Well, have a good night.
All right. All right, well, thanks, everybody, for listening. We appreciate it. Thanks, NBB Media, for hosting us. Check out phantomaccess.com. And everybody have a good week. It's sci-fi-vision.com. We don't have a website for Phantom Access.
Well, there is a page
with Sci-Fi Vision. Yeah. Go to sci-fi-vision.com.
Yes. Everything's on there.
And follow Jamie on Twitter for Sci-Fi Vision. And we will be back next week.
Yep. All right.
Okay.
Thanks. I'm trying to pause. So I'm letting you do it. All right. Thanks. See you then.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Good night.